Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Plus $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You are listening to Blessed and Bossed Up, presented by Anchored Media, an entrepreneurship podcast for Christians all about how to make God the CEO of your business. Get ready to be inspired, challenged, but well-equipped to live and build your destiny His way. Hey guys, welcome to another bonus episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. First, I want to say thank you so much to everybody who messaged me last week about the testimony episode. If you reposted it, if you tagged me on social media, I've been off socials. I pop in every now and then to just make sure nobody's asking me for anything in like my DMs. But I'm doing my best to stay completely off this whole year. So if you want to reach me more directly, you can always email me tatum@tatumtamia.com. But thank you so much to everybody who reached out with the congratulations, with feedback on the episode. The best way that I would love your feedback is for you to leave a 5-star review of the podcast. So tell people who may be contemplating taking a listen what you love about the show. All right. So on this bonus episode, we are picking back up with the Blessed and Bossed Up book club. If you're new here, we started this last year. I'm an avid reader. I always have been. Always have books to recommend for different reasons. And I mean, even coming into this Christian space, I've discovered even more amazing books by Christian authors. And so last year, I wanted to try something new and introduce our book club. The book we started out with was Joyce Meyer, Battlefield of the Mind, which is one of my favorite books of all time. But it was interesting reading it again years later. It's been years since I read it the first or second time. It was interesting reading it years later in a bit more spiritually mature. So it was fun to be able to discuss a lot of the amazing points that she made in that book and also bring up some criticisms and some inconsistencies as we were reading in real time. So I thought that was interesting. It was interesting and fun for me to do. And I know that you guys enjoyed it as well. So the next book that I chose, this one is a leadership book, still in the Christian space. So it's a Christian leadership book. It's called Leadership as an Identity, The Four Traits of Those Who Wield Lasting Influence. This book was written by Crawford Loritz. And the description says, who does God trust with leadership? Leadership is more than the sum of someone's personality traits, abilities, and talents. Leadership is also more than following a how-to manual or an organizational structure of tasks and strategies. Leadership is something God specifically calls people to, and God doesn't look for leaders the way that the world looks for leaders. The person God trusts with leadership is the person He trusts to implement and fulfill His assignment. Christian leaders live from and lead with four common identity characteristics: brokenness, uncommon communion, servanthood, and radical and immediate obedience. If you are interested in wielding a lasting influence, if you believe you are called to lead anyone anywhere, and if you believe God is calling you to something great, then seek these traits. So this is the book. The link is in the show notes if you want to grab your copy. We already covered chapters 1-4 before our winter break, so we'll be picking up on chapter 5. And if you want to get caught up on the previous episodes or even just refamiliarize yourself with the text so far, then I'll put the link to the first 4 episodes we did discussing the book in the show notes as well. And if you don't have the book, I try to do every episode in a way in which you are still getting something from it. So even if you don't have it, you're not sure if you want to get it yet, stick around, take a listen, because this book, y'all, this book is good. This thing is good. So in this chapter, we're still in the part about brokenness. Remember, brokenness is one of the four common identity characteristics of Christian leaders. And the title of this chapter is The Strength of Weakness. In the beginning, he introduces how many people, I will assume in the secular context, and I guess many believers as well, we look at weakness as a hindrance. Like, we look at weakness as it's the enemy. We don't want to be weak. We want to be strong, successful leaders. But the author says that is one, pride. And what leads us to not want to be weak is perhaps the most deadly weakness of them all. And that's something I underlined because I wanted to ponder on that for a second, because one of the things that I've learned as I've grown in leadership, grown in business over the years, especially in the Christian space, is that pride, like when you first get saved, a lot of times you're still struggling with the same sins and behaviors that you had before you got saved, right? You're in that sanctification process where God is removing the taste out your mouth for certain things of the world, where he's changing your perspective, he's changing your appetite, he's allowing you to exhibit self-discipline, self-control, and all of that. So you're learning how to be Christ-like versus being in the world. And so a lot of the struggles that you deal with at that time is what comes with that process of your mind being renewed and growing in your faith. And again, that sanctification process. As you get more mature, you don't struggle with the same sins that you struggled with before. I don't struggle with the same sins and temptations that I had 8 years ago when I first decided to live my life for the Lord. But what I've noticed, one of those sins that is tricky, that can be presented in so many different ways to get you off, no matter how spiritually mature you are, is pride. And the more successful you become, the more influential you become, the more you grow in whatever capacity or whatever path you may be on, this particular sin of pride is one that's always going to be right there. I think that's one of those ones where you would never not be tempted by pride, because we're wrapped in flesh. We're wrapped in flesh that doesn't want to do the will of the Lord. And so, yeah, you may not be tempted to smoke or to fornicate or be lustful as you were earlier on in your walk. But that pride, though, this is one that I have definitely seen the ways in which the enemy has dangled it in my face, and also has been successful in directing me off track until the Lord brought to my attention what was happening and I had to repent and turn back. So I love this chapter because he is showing one of the sneaky ways in which pride introduces itself to leaders. And the way that it's introduced is through us disliking our weaknesses or trying to fix them versus welcoming them. He even says here, instead, you should welcome your weakness, even celebrate it. Weakness means that you are usable. He says, I'm intrigued by the words of Apostle Paul, who wrote, if I must boast, I will boast in the things that show my weakness. That's in 2 Corinthians 11 and 30. He says, I consider Paul one of the most dynamic leaders of the Bible, and it's obvious that his contemporaries viewed him the same way. Yet in this passage, he says he boasts in his weakness. He goes on to describe his struggle with what he called a thorn in the flesh. Although Paul prayed, even with his apostolic authority, that it, as in the thorn, would be removed from him, God would not take it away. Instead, Jesus told him, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. That's 2 Corinthians 12 and 9. Whatever this thorn was, it reminded Paul of how weak he was and how much he needed God's strength. Further, the message from Jesus is loud and clear. Our Lord is not limited by your weaknesses. Instead, his power is more complete because of them. Let me say that again for those who may be struggling with your own inadequacies or ways that you feel like God can't use you. The message from Jesus is loud and clear. The message in 2 Corinthians 12 and 9 is loud and clear. Our Lord is not limited by your weaknesses. Instead, his power is more complete because of them. When you are inescapably reminded of how desperate you are for God, it's amazing how quickly you get out of his way and allow him to do what he wants to do through your life. I believe one of the things that is the most difficult about walking business, life, leadership, the Lord's way is reframing our mind. Because the world will tell us, okay, I have these weaknesses. I need to improve upon them. Personal development, self-growth, goals, hustle culture, our own type A personalities, our high achieving ways. All of these things look at our weaknesses as flaws. But a spiritually mature believer looks at your weaknesses as an opportunity for the Lord to get the glory for what he does. Now, that's not a cop-out to not advance your skill set. Or to be a bad steward, right? If you're somebody who struggles with time management, you need to steward your time better. And so bringing in different resources or personal development, whatever ways in which you grow in that area, that's beneficial because that's going to help you serve the Lord better. If you want to manage your finances better and you go down the growth and personal development track to be able to do that, increase your financial literacy, that's great. That's going to make you a better steward over what the Lord has blessed you with so that you can serve him better. Those are weaknesses or opportunities that you can improve upon so that you can be a better servant for the Lord. But if the Lord gives you an assignment to go out and start the business, to go out and speak, to go out and share the good news, whatever the assignment the Lord gives you. And then you start thinking about, well, I'm an introvert. I have social anxiety. It's not that comfortable for me to share the gospel with strangers. If you're thinking about, well, I don't have the education or the background to be able to go and do what the Lord has called me to do. I have some type of physical ailment to where I may not be as eloquent as other people to be able to do what God has called me to do. These weaknesses, these are not the ones that you go to try to fix yourself. These are the ones that you go forth and do what God called you to do anyway, because his strength is perfected in that weakness. And the fact that you are unqualified, the fact that you do have a physical ailment, the fact that you are not as educated as others may be, all these things are going to do is point to the goodness of the Lord, because the point of everything that we do, the purpose of everything that we do is to glorify the Father. And so you have to have wisdom and you have to have discernment when certain weaknesses present themselves. Because again, some of them are skills that need to be developed so you can serve the Lord better. Others are going to be thorns in your flesh that he's not going to take away, or that are just going to be there so that he can get the glory for what he does despite whatever that weakness is. Both of these things point to the Lord. And not self-sufficiency. So that's a way that you can kind of discern what to do with the weaknesses that are present within you. Is my improving upon this weakness going to make me more comfortable and more self-sufficient? Or is me improving upon this weakness going to make me a better steward and a better servant of what the Lord has blessed me with? Ask yourself those questions. And the answers to those questions are going to determine what you need to do next. I wanted to make that distinction because when I first started doing business the Lord's way and just really committed to this path, one of the things I struggled with is like, well, where do I fit in this? That was a real big question for me when the Lord first called me. I'm like, well, God, I am ambitious. I am driven. I am goal-oriented. I get things done. Like, where does that fit in your plan? How do I obey you but still be me? Because surely you didn't place these things in me for no reason. And what I've learned is that there's a time to apply that drive, and there's a time to stay in a child's place. Ladies, can we talk for a second? Do you ever feel yourself being overwhelmed by hormonal changes? You know, there are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors that are living rent-free in our environment right now. I mean, in our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, our skincare, everything, they all mess with our hormones. Then there's the normal hormonal changes that our body goes through. Perimenopause, menopause, and while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean that we have to suffer through it. Because now we have Hormone Harmony. a formula made only with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. Hormone Harmony is not just a hormone-supporting supplement. It's become a phenomenon. Women can't stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code BLESSED at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code BLESSED for 15% off today. This episode is brought to you by IXL Learning. One of the core values in the Iomi K household is education. My husband and I are lifelong learners, and we believe in using education to help set our kids up for success. IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed to help them really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. What I love about IXL Learning is that it creates this immersive experience, so learning feels like play. And for me, someone with young children, that's extremely important because we want to help our kids cultivate a love for learning. And what better way to do that than making it fun? This program will improve your kids' grades. Backed by research, kids using IXL are scoring higher on tests. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. It'll also work for any of your kids. It's powered by algorithms. IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter what age or personality. It saves you time because one subscription gets you everything. It saves you money because if your child is struggling, this is the smartest investment that you can make. A single hour of tutoring costs more than a month of IXL. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact in your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Blessed and Bossed Up listeners get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. And part of understanding when to do what comes with wisdom and an appropriate assessment of a situation. Like, this is why I always say that I believe that self-awareness is one of the secrets to success, especially as a Christian leader, because you have to be able to determine, like, okay, is this going to, I'm presented with an opportunity to move one or two ways. I have this flaw. I have this thorn in my flesh. I have this bit of suffering. Is this suffering that I just need to get under and let the Lord work out what needs to be worked out? Or is this suffering a result of a decision or a series of decisions that I made that I need to clean up, right? So we could take finances, for example, because this might be the easiest to explain. If you're in a bad financial situation, is this a result of bad stewardship, of overspending, of not budgeting, of taking on too much debt? Am I in this situation because of a lack of financial literacy and discipline in that area? If so, then I need to make better choices to be a better steward of my finances. I'm going to repent to the Lord. I'm going to seek Him in wisdom on how to make these better decisions. I'm going to seek Him to provide and highlight resources for me to help me clean up my mess. But I'm going to apply my drive, my focus, all of my physical efforts with His wisdom to cleaning up the mess that I created. Or let's say the economy or something that's outside of your control happens. Let's say the Lord gives you an instruction and that instruction leads to a tough season. The same way that the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to get tempted by the enemy, He was led there. So the Lord will lead us sometimes into suffering and into wilderness seasons to develop us, to train us for a purpose. And he will still sustain us and keep us through that suffering. But let's say that's the case, where the Lord has led me into this season for a reason. So this isn't a season then for me to try to wiggle myself out of, for me to try to negotiate with the Lord, for me to try to use the education and the experience or the drive that I had to fix this for myself. This is a season where I just got to get under the suffering and let the Lord work out what needs to be worked out in this season. So again, there's a time to apply all that drive that we have, all that ambition. There's also a time to stay in the child's place. And through awareness, through discernment, through consistent communication with the Lord, through sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. Because remember, we've covered this a few times last year in episodes. One of the characteristics or fruit of the Holy Spirit is gentleness. So there's a level of pace and slowness and awareness and sensitivity that we have to be able to discern what season we may be in. But that's a whole nother episode. But it is through that that you can then be able to properly assess and use wisdom with how you should move forward. Something else I have highlighted here in the book is he says, weaknesses come in all shapes and sizes, broken relationships, strong temptations, depression, tragic loss, feelings of inadequacy, mistreatment. It really doesn't make any difference what it is. The question is, what do you do with your weaknesses, failures, and wounds? Do you hand them over to God in exchange for his grace and strength? Or do you wallow in self-pity, allowing the enemy of your soul to immobilize you? And I have wrote here in the margin, or do you turn to self-sufficiency? Because that's a tendency of a lot of people as well. And that's one of the ways that pride enters in, is we use these weaknesses to tempt us into being self-sufficient versus surrender. In the next section, he says, nowhere is this tendency better illustrated than in the third chapter of Exodus, which describes how God gave Moses an unexpected and incredible assignment to lead Israel out of bondage and slavery to the Egyptians. By this time, Moses was 80 years old and apparently had grown accustomed to the life of a shepherd. Long gone was his desire to rescue his fellow Hebrews from the hands of the Egyptians. He had zero ambition to be the leader of the Hebrews, much less God's man to lead their deliverance from slavery. But that is precisely what God called Moses to do. God dramatically appeared to Moses in the form of a burning bush and in no uncertain terms told Moses that he was his man for the job. And all this can be found in the early chapters of Exodus. Imagine how absurd this task must have appeared to Moses. How could he, an 80-year-old exile, lead an enslaved people out of a nation as powerful as Egypt? It's a humanly impossible job, and it is obvious from the text that Moses knew it. He was overwhelmed with the sense of inadequacy and proceeded to present God with four excuses of why he was not the one for the job. Sound familiar to anyone else? I'm going to raise my hand because there have been plenty of times God gave me instructions and I gave him a bunch of reasons why he got to be tripping. So Moses' excuse number one is, I'm a nobody now and Pharaoh won't give me the time of day. His excuse number two was, I have no authority or credibility with the Hebrews. Excuse number three, the Hebrews won't believe me. Excuse number four, I'm not a good speaker. Four excuses. God answered Moses with two powerful illustrations. First, he told Moses to take the staff that he had used as a shepherd and throw it to the ground. Moses obeyed and watched the stick become a snake. Then God told Moses to grab the snake by the tail. As soon as he did, the snake returned to its form as his familiar staff. Next, God told Moses to take his 80-year-old hand and place it inside of his cloak. As soon as he did, the hand became leprous. Once again, God told Moses to take that same hand and put it back inside his cloak. When Moses obeyed, the hand was restored. God specifically answered all of Moses' arguments by pointing to his sufficiency, his God's sufficiency. It was as if God was saying, Moses, will you take your eyes off of yourself? Insert your name here where it says Moses. Will you take your eyes off of yourself and take a look at who is giving you the assignment? Tatum, will you take your eyes off of yourself and take a look at who is giving you the assignment? Don't worry about your authority or credibility. Don't worry about whether the Hebrews will believe you. Don't worry about your personal weakness. I will supply everything you need. I think the lesson, and this is still the author, I think the lesson from these two miracles is that God does not primarily delight in using what you bring to the table. Instead, he delights in using what you surrender to him. Again, God does not primarily delight in using what you bring to the table. Instead, he delights in using what you surrender to him. His assignments will require you to operate out of your areas of strength, out of your comfort zone. God will put you in situations where you have no choice but to rely on his miraculous power, strength, and intervention. The fact is that leaders are always in over their heads. That's because God's assignments are supernatural in nature, and he gives those assignments to vessels of clay, cracked, chipped clay pots. That's us. His holy, noble calling is placed in the hand of fragile, weak humanity. I've come to firmly believe that inadequacy is always associated with anything that God calls us to do. If, as a leader, you do not feel weak, you may very well have to answer to two fundamental questions. Y'all listening? If you are a leader and you do not feel weak, you may need to very well answer to two fundamental questions. First, have you been ambushed by pride, giving you a false sense of capacity and security? Second, are you really doing what God has called you to do? So, translation, all of those feelings of weaknesses, of inadequacy, of not being good enough, not educated enough, not articulate enough, not pretty enough, not slim enough, not insert whatever that thought is for you enough. That is exactly why the Lord wants to use you, because his strength is shown best in your weakness. So stop looking at it as a handicap and look at it as an opportunity. Echo what Paul said. If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. So don't get discouraged. Don't let what the enemy is telling you in your head immobilize you and get you discouraged. Use it as an opportunity to surrender that thing to the Lord. Obey whatever path the Lord has you on and watch how he gets the glory out of it. And I can tell you that, and especially with us in this anniversary month of this podcast, all of those feelings of inadequacy. Who am I? A lot of the excuses Moses gave the Lord, I gave him. Nobody wants to listen to me every week. I need a co-host or co-host to balance out this podcast. Who wants to listen to just me? Who am I to talk about you? I don't have any authority to talk about you. Why do I have to merge faith and business? I'm going to look silly. Nobody's bringing these two things together. One is separate. They're separate for a reason. You're taught to keep them separate for a reason. So how dare I come in and try to merge these things that I was taught in all of my education? To not bring religion into your professional things. Who am I? Why me? Can you just get somebody else to do it? Can I just be regular? But all of that, I surrendered it to the Lord and I obeyed anyway. And I recorded many episodes, uploaded it, closed my computer and ran out the house because I was just petrified every week. But then I started seeing how he's gotten the glory. Then I started seeing the souls that have been saved. Then I started seeing people who were starting kingdom businesses. Then I started seeing people who gave up so much to follow Jesus. Then I started seeing how he was getting the glory for it and how those tears of fear and trembling and inadequacies that I had 8 years ago turned into the tears that you heard last week of gratitude. And so now that's a marker for me. When the Lord gives me an assignment and there's that hesitancy because all I could think about is all of my inadequacies, that's usually an indicator that that is definitely the Lord. When I told y'all about him giving me this assignment to go to law school and how I was like, God, there are a billion reasons why that is probably not a good idea. Because look at everything else I have going on. I don't see how or why. But nevertheless, not my will, let your will be done. So whatever feelings of weakness are present for you, again, I can't emphasize enough that that means that you are in a perfect place to surrender. But don't let your flesh and don't let the enemy tempt you into either immobilizing you completely or allowing you or tempting you into self-sufficiency and pride. Because those are two of the ways that he capitalized off of these moments of weakness. Instead, I want you to surrender and I want you to be like Paul. So I'm going to stop this here. There's so much more to this chapter. So this is one of those instances where it is best that you get the book because he covered more. But I believe that this was enough for the sake of this episode. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. I love you guys. If this blessed you, please leave us a 5-star review and I'll see you in the next one.
Your time and expertise are valuable, making Focus one of the most important resources to have at work. These days, professionals spend nearly half the work week on written communication, and it can be difficult to stay on task with all the emails and documents you have to get through. With Grammarly as your AI writing partner, you can stay focused and quickly get through your work with relevant real-time suggestions wherever you write. It works across 500,000 apps and websites, so it can help with everything, from brainstorming presentation ideas to sounding more confident and persuasive in emails and reports. For 15 years, Grammarly has offered best-in-class communication support and enterprise-grade security on a business model that doesn't sell your data. 93% of professionals report that Grammarly helps them get more work done. Download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.